This is the MLW Radio Network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. My host, Striga, is always joined by Dylan. Dylan, what's going on?
Striga, if that is your real name.
It is.
Well, can't you just keep kayfabe for 5 seconds? No. It's great to be back on the Eastern Lariat, talking to all of the wonderful listeners of the show and all the supporters of us all over the world. Like, this is a global, truly a worldwide show, I would say, for such an interesting subject in terms of Japanese pro wrestling. And it's the thing that makes me happiest in this life. It's the thing that has brought us all together. And what a world we live in, that we can talk, me and you, different countries, different time zones, different lives. And yet we are brought together through this thing. So it's great to be back on. And I can't wait to talk about all the cool stuff that we have to talk about today, because, well, maybe it's not that cool, some of the stuff. But it's interesting, at least. Yeah, that's the main thing.
Definitely true. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you mentioned the word global. We are on two different continents, to be precise, even. And now we are talking about a company that recently had a show that was called The Global Dream. That is, of course, Pro Wrestling Noah. They have this approach that they want to be witnessed on a grander stage than, quote-unquote, just Japan. That for that reason, they also got an announcer, an English announcer, that is there for Wrestle Universe predominantly. And they also did a show called Global Honored Crown, where they had mainly title defenses and one pre-show match, which saw Yoshiki Nomura being successful in and then challenging for the GHC national title later on. But I want to tackle the big stuff early on, Dylan, here in the show. We're starting out big. The GHC heavyweight title match. Kaito Kiyomiya going against Timothy Thatcher. 37 minutes. Kaito came out winning the match. He, once again, of course, lost a tag match before the title match. And then after Kenno challenged him, he, of course, once again, immediately lost the next tag match. So we're in this never-ending circle where Kaito Kiyomiya apparently is the guy, and then he's not, because he always loses these outpost tag matches.
Well, yes, first of all. You know, we had a long discussion about Kaito on the last show that we did.
Yeah. It has not improved, actually.
No, the sad thing is, when I was watching this match, you know, I did do a show on the Patreon, by the way, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Me and my boy Dean, we did a show on there, first time ever talking about this. And he was saying something like, yeah, he joked about, this is like if Yoshinori Ogawa was the heavyweight champion. It's now Kaito's character in Noah, which is, and my point on that, my response to that was like, yes, that's true. Or, you know, I can see why you might think that's true. The idea of an unworthy champion, so to speak, of some sort. The key to that is that, A, it's not somebody like Kaito who has been through the ringer already, but B, that you have to grow into that guy. And I thought we actually took a step forward, because, again, they changed his gear, they gave him new music. I think it's clear that the people in charge of the company, they realized that the stuff with the N1 and then Fujita, that wasn't really working. You know, like, I mean, that was like a month-long deal with the gear and stuff, and they already changed it. It was a very short term. How long did he have the black gear, like, after he changed from the green stuff? Like, that was a good year or two, right?
Yeah, basically until the point he finally beat Muto.
Yeah, exactly. But it lasted for a long time, was what I'm saying. Like, he had it for a long time.
He did beat Muto for a long time, so yeah.
But the new stuff he had, the N1 stuff, he didn't have it that long. It was only a month. And then they changed it right away. Because remember what I said on the last couple of shows, whenever we talked about him, he doesn't feel like an ace to me when I look at him. He doesn't have what he used to have when he was in his original title run. He felt like an ace to me. And it felt like a guy who could lead the company. This new version, it wasn't working. And so I'm glad that they realized that that wasn't the answer. And they changed things around. They gave him some new gear already. And I thought that the match with Thatcher was really strong. Like I thought that was a really good match. We were talking about it on the Patreon. It actually reminded us of some of those Ogawa matches that Kaito had in the past, like very technical based, very long. And I thought Thatcher is just a tremendous performer. And we all know that. We all know how great Timothy Thatcher is. It didn't quite grab me the way that maybe that Hideki final did, the N1. Mm-hmm. But it was still a great match. Like, the best match we're going to talk about on the show, probably, of all the companies. That was the one, I would say. But it looked good. Like, he ended up facing a guy, and I think the good strength of Kaito, it's not that anything's wrong with him, but he's not the kind of ace that I always say is the best kind, the one that everyone loves and gets super over. The Okada, the Naito, or not the Naito, but the Kento, Takeshita, even back to Misawa in All Japan. He's not that dominant champion that everyone can love and support and ride with. He's the strength that he brings to the table is he can wrestle in the ring in a way that I think is as good or better than those guys, in that he can match anyone's style. You know, like he can do technical wrestling. He can do his normal style wrestling with the suplexes. He can go against Keno, a striker. He can wrestle really well against any type of person. And I think that's a great kind of in-ring gimmick. Seems a little bit too strong, but a good mark in his character to have. And I hope that they focus on that more. And I thought that this match with Thatcher was a step in the right direction overall. What happened the next show, I didn't like that as much.
I agree on most parts of your statement just that you made. I think that the match with Thatcher was the best match that we're talking about. I just went through in my head. I really liked the tag match too. The tag title match, the GHC heavyweight tag title match.
Oh yeah, that was really great.
It was really great. So bouncing back and forth, because there is something that I did not like about the match actually. And it has to do with the point that you made, that Kaito is actually very good in adapting to different styles. And that is definitely a good thing for a wrestler like him. But it can also be a disadvantage because it leads to matches where he adapts to the other guy's style. And in lots of portions of the matches is the babyface in peril and doesn't work as a dominant champion. For example, to compare him with Okada, because that's clearly what they want. They want a guy like Okada, right?
Well, they don't. They're not based on how they book him.
Well, but they want a guy like him, obviously, because they positioned him like Okada years ago, too. So
somebody else that did that.
Who did what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who did what?
And when he was like Okada was his original run, these weren't the owners.
That is a fair point. Still, though, I want to make the comparison with Okada because Okada, we talk about the Okada match formula. You know, that he has this big match formula that he goes by, but that is his match formula. He is the guy, he is the champion, so he dominates the match, and the other guys have to follow. That is a clear thing that makes him stand out in his company. And that makes him stand out whenever he goes anywhere else. So he has his big match style. Kaito doesn't. And in this match too, he had to adapt to Thatcher's style. And while I was fascinated, once again, I wrote that on Twitter too, I was fascinated to watch Thatcher work. There was this moment in the match where he grabbed Kaito and went for the crossface hold, but it took him like half a minute before I even got the crossface hold in, and he didn't have it in long because Kaito went to the ropes, but it was just great to see the guy work. And that is a great comparison also to the Hideki match, why the match with Hideki Suzuki was so great too. But Kaito as champion should be someone, in my opinion, that takes a role more like Okada, whereas he is now the guy to lead the match. And he shouldn't be the guy once more to be the one to come from behind, because like after the thing with Fujita, after the next loss to Thatcher, I don't know why he is not getting this signature performance where he just is the dominant guy. Thatcher probably wasn't the wrestler to do that with because he has his distinct style, but Kaito needs a performance like that. And I really, really hope that he is getting that with the Kenno match. That is probably the guy that he can have a match based on his own style the most, because Kenno will work with him. But that is what I did not really like about the match. It's just this idea of him once again being the underdog here.
Well, yeah, I honestly agree with all of that, what you said. And I think that's definitely adds added importance to the Kenno match, because I definitely agree with you. As a champion, I want that too. But I don't think that they want that, just because if they wanted to do that, then everything would have been different over the past, like,
right.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
I don't think that they ever saw him like that, to be honest with you. And now we're in this role because basically there's, I mean, if it's not him, who else, you know, like who is it? Really?
I just went through the roster in my head and I was thinking about, who else would there be? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem on them because they have a lot of great talent that they've also done right with besides.
Yeah,
Kaito.
I mean, just I said it at the beginning of the year, just look at where Kazuhiko Nakajima is right now. I said it at the beginning of the year when he lost the title that they gave up on him and people said, "No, you just have to wait and see. He just lost the title, that doesn't mean that they've dropped on him, but look at him."
I will say in general, I think the Noah fans are very like positive minded. Like, you know, they're optimistic. You know, they want to believe in this. With Nakajima, you know, he's like an upper mid card guy at the moment right now, and I don't necessarily hate that role for him. I thought that he probably could have gotten a little longer as champion, but in the grand scheme of things, is he the main guy? To me, he's not more of an ace than Kaito, and never ever was, in my opinion. And I think that it's unfortunate that things have gone how they did with Kaito, that things have gone how they've gone. I think that we've drugged this out so much. Like you said, this Muto deal was on for a long time. Mm. And the thing is, even that here's the unfortunate thing about all of this. Like, the story of Muto versus Kaito is good on paper. Like, in very traditional Japanese wrestling, a guy loses and loses and loses, and it finally overcomes at the end. Like, never gives up, fighting spirit. That's very traditional, like, good. But the execution was so poor that it really hurt him a lot, and Muto just wasn't the right guy for this particular type of story, like, I feel like. And, you know, unfortunately, it really drug things down. Fujita, we talked about that match last month, you know, and how things worked. He didn't look good at the end of it. And he hasn't looked good. And like you said, the Thatcher match, he was definitely an underdog. I don't look at him like an Okada ace at the moment, you know, so I wasn't even expecting that. If you're optimistic, again, if we're going to be the optimistic ones, you want to think that, hey, this Kenno match, this is, and I think it's necessary. If they want to have him be a guy like that, if they really see him as an ace, like I said, even if they don't see him, they don't have any other options at this point. So, like, this is who it's got to be right now. If you want to do that, and that's what I said on the other show. I said, look, this Kenno match, we're headed to the dome. This Kenno match needs to be a completely dominant win.
Yes.
For Kenno. Like, yeah. And I would say, maybe if you could have like a little bit of the Muto stuff, maybe have a little part of his gear on the side, maybe keep a Shining Wizard. Put it away
with the Tiger Suplex Hold. That's all I want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Either bring back the Tiger Suplex. If it were me, I would say get rid of all of this, all new gear, the return of the real Kaito. Play a video package of him talking about his debut and how he was inspired by Misawa, and he's like the last lineage of Noah. I would have that, or even, this is kind of an idea I floated about, come up with a new move, Like all of his own, or maybe some kind of combination move. Remember when Mara Fuji came up with the Tiger Flosion after Misawa passed, where he had the Tiger Driver into the Emerald Flosion? Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, you combine two moves to this new move. I think if Kaito can pull something like this, get a new move, or like you said, even if it's just a Tiger Suplex, that's a great idea. That's what it should be. Should have been all along. When would that... The real Kaito is here. No more, you know, he's himself again. He's a champion. And get back to where we should have been all along. That never should have stopped. Unfortunately, things did have to change. But if they do that, I'll be a little bit more optimistic. So I give them a little bit of wiggle room with this Kenno match. If we see another type of match like this and Kenno just, you know, really controlling the match and yep. Kaito being the underdog, I don't think that that's a really a good ace
character. It's been 2-for-2 now, so... They better deliver on that end.
And even the Kenno match that he won the title was not a great match, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like that was not a standout match. And the one they had before a few years ago was a lot better. You know, so hopefully they can get behind that. Like I said, it's just like the Inamura thing. Like the past, we could all talk about how bad it's been. Mm-hmm. But if they could do things right, they're at least setting up a believable turning point. And if we can do that again to next year, then maybe we can get things on the right path for them. Because you see the talent, you see what they have in the company, and I know that they could be a great company to follow. Like, I believe it in my heart, but they've just made a lot of questionable and just wrong decisions, in my humble opinion on that.
Two other singles titles that changed hands on that show, actually, Dylan. The national title, Leopold Dr. Wagner Jr. defeated Masakatsu Funaki in 13 minutes with a moonsault press. Looked really good. Masakatsu Funaki gave him a lot. And the other one, the most puzzling of all of them, is the junior heavyweight title, with Dante Leon defeating Ninja Mac in 12 minutes in another GCW-style match. And I was completely puzzled, like I said.
Well, through all the pain that we've went through, especially me, I think you're really ambivalent towards everything when it comes to Noah, but for junior heavyweights especially, it's hurt my heart and soul, Striga, watching this company over the last couple of years. And the one good thing we can say about it, the one good thing that's come about these last few years is my rant on the last episode about Hayata, and that people took enjoyment out of that. So I'm very happy that I got a lot of very fun comments about that whole segment.
And, yes. Good rant, and it left me speechless, and mostly because it wasn't only about Hayata, it was also about Dante Leon, you know?
And that's where we go, yeah. With Dante Leon. New champion. I have to say, just the match itself, they kind of overachieved at the start. Like, I kind of liked what they did with the brawling. It's like, okay, we're doing something a little different than I thought. And then things kind of wound about by the end to where, oh yeah, these guys are like super indie, mm-hmm. just people I don't want to watch. That was kind of at the end. So why this happened, I would love to know. Like, mm-hmm. I'd love to talk to the person booking this title. Like, why? I mean, listen, the Hayata thing was an injury.
Exactly. But then again, Ninja Mac has been a success for Pro Wrestling Noah from the get-go. First match, he stepped into the ring. He was over with the crowd tremendously, and they brought him back. He gained more popularity. He is, you could say, the most over guy in the junior division, I think by far.
Yeah, just a fresh guy. Yeah, totally agree.
So by accident, he wins the title. Okay. But then you just go with it, because the guy is over. But no, they once again abort mission. And for what? That's the question here, really.
Well, the answer is very obvious if you knew what you were talking about, Striga. If you knew, you would know that Dante Leon looks more like Hayata, and they think that he is Hayata's
secret. Shit!
The secret's revealed right now on the show.
Can't you just hold kayfabe for a minute?
Yes. Oh goodness. I mean, that's a better explanation than any like trying to explain this in wrestling sense explanation that they could give, because on paper, what do you want me to say, Stringer? Dante Leon is not championship material in a professional company. Like, let's just be honest about it.
I'm sorry, he has the run of his life, and I'm sure he's having a great time, but that is all. It's just, I don't know. It's all very weird.
it's bad and goofy how they got there. Even if they said, okay, this is our grand plan to push Dante Leon. But who's to say? Like, who's to say he doesn't lose the title? Like very sure. soon.
What's his next match?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
Neither do you. Nobody knows. Apparently. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, here's the thing. This is another part that really, again, this is the thing that really hurts me about this whole thing, is that there's so much talent in this division that they can go with. And not even the old guard, you know, your Kotaro Suzuki's, your Harada's, your Kotage. You can go with new guys like Yoshioka, Alejandro, like Amakusa. Like, you got all kinds of guys. Yeah. Like, that so could be.
Next
yeah.
match that they are having is actually on the 23rd in Yoyogi. It's a tag match. Dante Leon and Yohei. Perfect tag team, actually.
And I said they should be a tag team on the Patreon. Yes. It's documented. Yes. That's exactly my plan for them. They listened. Someone was listening.
I mean, they fit perfectly.
Yeah, they really are.
They face Amakusa and Alejandro.
Either one of those.
Yeah, either one of those, yeah.
And they're both great. And then, they're people that you can build the things around. I've always thought that, I've not always, but I've long since thought that it's time for guys like those guys, Yoshioka. They need to do something with these guys. Let the division have a fresh run of guys in general. I think, again, maybe I'm being delusionally optimistic here, and I'll take the L if this does not come true. But you look at the potential of it. With the national title, you got Kaito as the heavyweight. Maybe they can set up something to where they can have all fresh champions. That's something that I advocated for after the show, after the N1, actually, was that they need to just reset everything, all new champions. Like, let's move forward and wipe some of the stench off of this company, because it's been a very bad year for Noah, in my opinion. So, and not just my opinion, in pretty much every way, it's been a bad year. So I would think that just wipe all of this away, take a step forward, even if it's painful for some people on this roster, just take a step forward and let's go with it. If they could set that up, I'll be good with it. Dante Leon is champion. I mean, yes, not just him being puzzling, but how they got here. Why would you take the title off of Ninja Mac? He could have been at least a fun guy. Did he have to go? Was there visa issues? Is that what it's all about? I don't know.
Let's see.
I think I saw him say he was going back to America.
Actually. Yeah, that could actually be a reason, because he's not on the next card. That is a good point on your part, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I saw him announce something on Twitter that he was like, yeah, I had a great run in Japan, and now I'm going back to it.
That's very unfortunate then. Okay, yeah, that then makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. You know, maybe he'll come back in a couple of months. You know, maybe it's, like I said, look at Thatcher. I mean, he came back, quickly. They didn't have, if that's the case, then they really didn't have to take the title off of him. If this is something that's going to be resolved in 3 weeks, then I think.
But they did the same with Thatcher.
But he kept the tag titles.
Did he?
Yeah. They took him out of the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they lost the titles to Sugera and Kojima. Yeah. See, so they didn't have to strip the titles, the title of him.
Hmm.
We're speculating. We don't really know his situation. So hopefully it's okay. But, and like I said, so I'm going to give this a little bit more room to before I just completely annihilate it like I did last week in Hayata. If they do what I hope they have in mind, and some version, it's not like there's one guy I favor over the other. It could be anybody, because you have a lot of great talent. If they can do something like that, I will forgive this, more or less. But on paper, this is definitely a highly questionable decision.
What do you think about the national title changing hands?
Yeah, to be honest, I thought the match wasn't very good, in my opinion. I liked the one last month, 3-minute match, and... Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the title being what it has been. Even though I know Funaki's not the most popular guy among a lot of fans, just stylistically, I like that the national title had its own identity in these more shoot-style type of matches, right? So, to me, I think that it's a big change. They're already setting up Inamura, and I do think Inamura is going to win. Again, shout out to Dean for this. He made a great point that with these big shows coming out, this Budokan and all of this stuff, are they really going to want to put EO Dr. Wagner in a main spot, like a top 3 or 4 match in the Budokan? You know, I think that would make more sense for Inamura. So I see the logic.
Sure. What my big issue is, Inamura once again did not get the win over a established veteran.
Oh yeah.
And I it's just purely speculation, but I am under the impression that Funaki didn't want to lose to Inamura.
I mean, you look at how it's played out. How could you think anything else? Just logically.
That is ultimately it. And I got to say, if we criticize Fujita for doing stuff like that, we also got to criticize Funaki for that.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I like these guys as wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Like, but that doesn't mean I defend their all of the political moves. I will defend Fujita as a good like worker. Like, there's a way you could use these guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've already talked about this a million times. Like, there's a way you could use these guys that are good. They don't do it. And this is why we end up in situations like this. So, but, I mean, on the other hand, if they could just, again, this is another thing, step forward, you know, like, keep him away from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you got to do. You know, I mean, like, the thing is, you could see that in certain cases, you know, everybody lumped Hideki in with those guys, but I mean, he did a phenomenal job of winning over Kaito and stuff. So hopefully that we could see a little bit more of that and a little bit less of this, you know, these mind games, you know, Dr. Wagner Jr. is champion. You know, it feels like a very short term move, but like you said, on paper, and who knows, maybe Dr. Wagner will just win and he will get that many.
Yes.
You know, so again, we have to wait and see on this before we say for sure, but on paper, we think Inamura will win, and that's how we have to look at it, just speculating. But it's an educated guess, a very educated guess, let's just say, on that. But, you know, yeah, and I think that now – and the thing with Funaki is, like, where will he possibly go at this point? Because he doesn't really fit in any other division, really. It's no, like he's destined to be – yeah.
I mean, yeah, what's he going to do? He's – he doesn't fit with his own group.
Oh, that's Congo.
Yeah. So he's really never. I mean, he's teaming with them from time to time, but he's really never part of any storyline that they have going. He doesn't have anything else going for him right now. So, except maybe there's some kind of shoot style match that they could put him in Budokan. Maybe they have a big guy for him. I don't know who that would be. Maybe someone from his past. Maybe someone from the Pancras days. Yeah,
Cesaro.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that would be a big match, at least, if they wanted to do something like that. But, I mean, the same, not just him, but the same is true for Vegeta. Like, where do you go with these guys after, like, they've fulfilled their purposes in terms of titles and all of that. And yes. I don't think...
Yeah, and they're also not getting any younger.
Well, yeah, that's obviously true. We're all not getting younger.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, time is a flat circle or something, right? Is that how an expression goes?
That is actually an expression, yes. But
I don't know if I'm using it properly or not.
I don't think so, but go on.
Yeah, sure. But the point is, Father Time's undefeated, is what I meant to say.
Yeah, yes.
And Father Time would beat the hell out of that flat circle of a clock of a time if he got his hands on it. But except for Sugera, who looks better than ever in these tag matches. But to me, it's just like, where do you go with these guys? So to me, like, if he's not going to put over Inamura, there's really not a lot of great use for him. Unless there's, like you said, they could get a big match out of that. And maybe Fujita could do something on this Inoki show coming up at the end of the year. But beyond that, it's like, I just don't see a great future for these guys in Noah with how they've used him, because I just don't think there's room for him in the title pictures anymore.
Yeah. True. So,
and they're not going to be tag guys. Like, they don't have any tag that they can go to.
I mean, Fujita could, of course, like be in a tag team and challenge for the tag title. That's no problem, but Funaki is not a tag guy.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right. There might be a little bit more hope with Fujita team with somebody. But yeah, you know, we'll see. I just, like you said, that is a very legitimate criticism on your part. But for me, I want to see Inamura win before we even, you know, maybe I'm just being too skeptical. But if Inamura wins, I'll say, okay, we're at least taking steps forward. Even though, again, we got there in the most ass way possible, pretty much. The same thing with Kaito as champion. It's like, the way we've gotten here is just, it just sucks. Like, there's no nice way to say it. Like, all around, on any kind of business or logic level, really. But we are at least in the right place. Like, the destination is where we should be, and hopefully we can just, now that we've moved beyond all of this stuff, hopefully we can focus on them going forward. And I think that that should be a big goal for the through the first half. I would say until Cyberfight Fest 2023, that should be their goals more than anything else. You know, the junior division's fallen so far that it's...
Yeah, I was just going to go to the next point here.
Yeah.
Going to the junior tag title, I was just looking at the last title reigns. There was, of course, two injuries in recent years. By Ogawa was COVID, and Seki Yoshioka had a foot injury. They had to vacate the championship. But then Kotoge and Yohei won it, had it for 65 days. Then Stinger, Ridgeway, and Ogawa had it for 149 days, and they only had it for so long because Ridgeway wasn't in the country for a lot of that time, actually. Then
you take what you can get, straight.
Yeah, they lost it to Kotoge and Yoshioka. They had it for 46 days now. Now Ohara and Kondo have it, and they are going to defend it against Kotoge and Yoshioka again. So, yes, Dylan, to your point, time is a flat circle.
Well, yeah, the junior division is definitely a flat. It's flat for sure. I don't know what it is. It's not a hot, bubbling up scene right now in the junior division, to say the least. But again, the thing is, they have so much talent that it's hard to believe how things are. It's like all of these guys are great workers, like that we're talking about. It's just how
this division is just booked terribly. I couldn't tell you who actually. Is there actually a proper tag team in this division? Or are they just...
It's just in shambles. It's
interchanging guys.
Kotoge has won these tag titles with like five different people. Like in the last few years. Like he's won it with Yoshioka, Yohei, yes. Harada, Ohara, Kotaro. He's won it with all of them. Like half of this division he's been partners with. It's like, what is going on here? Like, Ohara and Kondo... Like, okay, on their own, great. But as a team, like, they don't really fit together. It's just like, here's how that came about. Like, we took two guys that were in the same group, drew names out of hat, and it came out to Ohara and Kondo. You know, pretty much. And now they're tag team. They used to have...
He's been champion. He's been junior tag champion with six different guys over the past 8 years. Oh. Ishimori, Harada, yeah. Suzuki, Ohara, Yohei, and Seki Yoshioka.
Yeah, so everybody said that it going way back to Ishimori, like a long time ago. But, like, they used to have teams. You know, they had Kotoge and Harada, Momo Tag. Mm-hmm. That's like a real team. You had Hao and Neo when they were in Congo. That was a real team. You know, like, obviously they changed gimmicks and all that stuff. You had Yohei and Hayata, a real team.
Yep.
They've broken all these people up and switched them around a million times. Like, you had Stinger. Like, that was a good team.
Yeah, and even for a brief moment in time, they had Seki Yoshioka and Yuyu Susuma. They were scramble time back in their indie days.
Yeah, did they just give up on Susumu?
I think so.
Smart move. Like, that's one of the good things they did.
Oh, wait, or is he the guy that got injured? Let me find out. No, he's not.
Well, he's not that great. So but the thing is, no matter who you are, how talented you may be, it's impossible to get over this division because everything's so backwards. It feels like, and like I said, on paper, all of these guys, this should be a tremendous match. These four guys, and they had a good match. Like the junior title match, it was good. Like it wasn't bad. It was good. It's just, it's just not that interesting. Is the problem at the end of the day.
What was interesting, though, was the heavyweight tag team title match, and I actually was caught off guard because I did not expect that kind of a banger from the Funky Express, but Yone and Saito, they really, really showed up for this match. Yone was in a very serious mode in this match, not his usual funky self. He had a grim face for most of the match and worked hard with Sugiura and Kojima. Saito also brought his best, I thought. And Kojima and Sugiura, we've been talking briefly in DMs about that, they're growing together fastly as a real proper tag team to really have a great run with these heavyweight tag team titles. So this probably was, I think, my favorite match of the show.
I like the main event better, but this was a great match as well. And you know, to me, this wasn't, I mean, like, it was a really strong match. You know, like, these guys worked really hard. Definitely Saito and Yone really brought the funk, truly, with the Funky Express. Like, this was a funky match when you think about it here. Sugera and Kojima, like, they're really, I really love what they're doing together. I think they're a great team. I was really skeptical of them. But, I mean, we kind of talked about this on the other show, too, mm-hmm. on the Patreon, where it was like, this is another situation where these guys, they're great. I love their matches. They're not a real team, though, you know, like, stylistically or anything about them. It's like they're tag team champions because they're both similar ages. Like, but there's not a lot in common with them, really. You know, and, like, they've never been a tag team before. They just put them together to win these titles. So that's one thing that hurts it for me. The match was, to me, this match was a filler title defense, and they really overachieved in the in-ring work. So I was really impressed by all four men, and I thought Sugera was awesome in the match. I thought Yone really brought it. Saito, like, they've proven that, hey, you've got something with them, maybe just a once-a-year thing, but they can bring it when the time has come. So it was a really good match, I would say. I would say it's 7.63 on Cage Match. I think that's about accurate.
Yeah. Like,
that's where,
yeah,
I would have it.
I think so, too. Maybe the criticism that I had of the Thatcher and Kiyomiya match dragged it down for me a little. But I would definitely say that from the quality standpoint of the match, the pure wrestling, the main event was better. But I really liked this tag title match a bit more because the quality of it came so surprisingly to me.
Yeah, that's so totally fair. You definitely didn't think this was going to be a banger on paper, no. But they brought it. It's yes. Like, it's a good stuff all around. Like I said, really loved. I wish that we would just get some real teams in these divisions. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, they had one with Thatcher and Suzuki, and they took it away for some reason. And this is another one. The reason they did is because they have Kojima. They don't have anything to do with him, so they're just going to put him in this random tag team.
Nakajima and Kenno, they are there, but Kenno is now challenging for the main title. There, I mean, they could always go with Tanaka and Mochizuki. You can always pair someone with Maro Fuji, but that's, once again, would be a makeshift tag team.
What about Tanaka and Sugera? They're a better tag team than Kojima and Sugera.
Yeah, but Sugera is the tag champ with Kojima right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this was I'm not in favor of this team, even though they're having great matches, just because I would rather it be a real team. Like, they did. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I would say would be focused on, if, in my opinion, would be like, hey, we're going to put we're bringing back real teams to this company, because, again, the junior division and the tag team division, that used to be the signatures of this company that made it better than New Japan. Like, never mind, like, stylistically, you can go either way. I know a lot of people like the New Japan style better that got into it. But there's no argument to me that the junior division and the tag team divisions weren't always superior in NOAH than to what New Japan was having at the same time. And it's all fallen so far. I mean, it's, you could still argue that it's superior just because the other one's so low as well. But, you know, maybe not even the juniors. I think the juniors are actually worse, to be honest with you, at NOAH. That says something. Like, that's a really strong statement from where they were. And I think that's something they need to get back to just basics. Put the teams together, real teams, not just throw random guys into it. You know, you have options. You had, you know, like you said, Nakajima and Kenno. You could have Kaito and Inamura, or even Inamura and Kitamiya. Both of those felt like true teams if you want to put them together. You know, you have options, but they're not doing them properly. So I just... I'm not a huge on this tag divisions at the moment, even though, like I said, the heavyweights at least are. And the junior title match was not a bad match, like, at all. It was a good match. Like, this was a really good match. But I'm not hyped for the future of this division because it just feels like filler because they don't have anything to do with Kojima.
On the next day, they had a show that by far outdrew this show that had five GHC title matches on the card. The one with the Kiyomiya and Thatcher match did 789, and the Global Dream Show the day thereafter did 1,209 fans in Currican Hall. I guess the Dragon Gate fans really showed up for that because their guys were on the card, featured a lot. And I guess some of the NOAH fans also showed up here. I thought the show was good. I enjoyed it. The thing, though, is with the main event, for example, with Kenno and Minoru against Kiyomiya and Yuki Yoshioka, these guys really don't have anything in common. They just happen to be in the main storylines of their promotions, for the most part. So that was a thing for most of this card. I mean, they had cool crossovers. For example, with Kongo and Zebrats, with BB Hulk showing up in there, and they had Yohei come to the ring dancing with the Natural Vibes. That's cool and all. And you can, I guess you can do two or three more shows of that kind where you just mix up these guys. But ultimately, what does this relationship, how does this relationship continue in the future? Because this one just really felt like, okay, we're looking at what we can throw together, who fits with whom based on our storylines, but there is no real common ground. There is no real agenda of these two groups working together. It's not even like that it's a Dragon Gate versus Noah show, but because they interchanged and they had their heels face their faces. It's a thing, and it drew well, but what can it do in the future, Dylan?
Yeah, you know, it was a great business decision to have this show. You know, the Dragon Gate Noah deal, that's a really cool thing. It shows you that there's interest in a lot of these guys, at least. You know, these Dragon Gate guys especially, I think, definitely gave a big bump. And it shows you that, I mean, this at Corcoran Hall wasn't that far off from the All Junior show at Sumo Hall that they did.
Yeah, made true.
You know, it shows you that, like, when Noah puts their stars in there, like, in Faces of Dragon Gate, it has a lot of interest, I think, you know, like, so that's really cool that they were able to do it. As a show, to be honest with you, this was, in my opinion, like, a vibes type of show. And I don't mean, like, natural vibes. I mean, like, a lot of the matches were, like, comedic-based, you know, like, and it was long. to be honest with you, like I thought that the singles match was good. The main event was like that was the one match I would say like, yeah, definitely, like you should definitely check this main event out. It was good.
Yep.
You know, everything else, it's like, hey, if you're into these characters, you probably got a lot of good things into them. On the other hand, there was a lot of questionable booking on this show as well, I have to say. Particularly when the Kotage Leon and Punch Tamanaga team beat Natural Vibes and Jason Lee doing the job here. What? Yeah, that was super random, I thought, and not great overall. But regardless, you know, like I said, to me, the main event was the one match I would say it was like a good match. Maybe the singles match as well. You know, you might want to check that out.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, there was fun stuff on the show. I thought the Ichikawa and Kojima match was a funny, typical, you know, Ichikawa match. Shun and Tadasuke's antics were amusing, I would say, in their tag match. And, you know, it was a decent show. And like you said, where does it go from here? I really don't know. I just, these companies just are a weird fit together overall. I just don't understand what they could do with them in the future. Other than, hey, if they make this a yearly show, Noah and Dragon Gate, I could get behind that. You know, like, I think you could do something with that. Maybe try to mix and match people here, but why not do this with DDT, your own sister promotion? Why not work with them more? You'd think you would have more upside with that than Dragon Gate, but the statement falls on deaf ears whenever I make it. It continues to not happen, so we'll see. But on paper, like you said, they got one good show out of it, which is something, but it doesn't feel like any kind of game-changing relationship or anything by any stretch of imagination. It was a cool main event that set up a title match. Like, that's the weird part of it. It's like this match we were talking about again to bring up the Patreon show. Compare this main event to the first Cyber Fight Fest show where it was Takeshita and Ueno versus Inamura and Kaito. This match was not even close to that match. Like the best it could possibly ever be would never even be in the range of that Cyber Fight Fest match. And the reason is because that match was like the true. And that was the only match on that show, too, that was like this, where it was DDT versus Noah. Right. We want to be the best. DDT is the best. No, Noah is the best. And we are going to fight with all of our hearts to prove this. This Dragon Gate match was like, okay, the champions team up versus the heel contenders that team up. That was it. They're mixed in match. They don't have that. This was just a build-up match, ultimately, to Kaito and Kenno, which is they didn't bring the house down like that DDT match did. And I think that's what this show needed, was something that would like really get people talking, something that would just go a crazy match. And and I understand why they did it this way. I don't think it's like this terrible decision to use it to build up the Budokan show. And I think Kenno, and this is another thing I said, I think he needs to be built up, because they just had this title match two months ago. I don't know if y'all noticed this, but we're doing something we just did, and both men have taken losses. Like, Kenno didn't win the tag titles.
Yes.
They need Kenno to be built up as a challenger, but it shows how poorly they built up their own main eventers that it's coming down to this, where you're sacrificing whole, you know, it's like, it's crazy to me, like some of the stuff here, but they want to build up the match. They need to build it up, because I think that yes, they have a long rivalry, yes, they have a long feud, and yes, they have a lot between them. But I think right now, currently, the previous few months, I think that this does not feel like a hot match on paper to me, and I think that they need to build it up somehow to get them there.
When's Go coming back, actually?
Yeah, I saw that he said something that he was like coming back. Nobody knows
the date, right?
Yeah. Nobody knows specifically, but I mean, you think if it was at all possible, he would be there for the Dome show, at least for the Muto show.
Yeah. Maybe he comes out at Budokan and says he's coming back.
That would be nice, but I mean, and he's another one where it's like he's one of the few that they haven't been able to ruin too much, because he's always been out injured so much that it's helped him avoid their terrible booking. And he would feel like at least a guy, like a legitimate main eventer, and something you could build up. I could definitely see that being the match, actually, at the Dome, like Go versus Kaito for the title.
Maybe. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Again, let's use our minds here. If not him, who?
Who?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
I'm Marufuji. You think he'd be there?
I mean, they would have to need to build him up, because he's just in these 6-man tags all the time.
And that's where we're at here. Like, that's where we're at with Kenno. It's like, you need to build these guys up, you know. And they, you know, and they've got time to do it at least, but we'll see. But yeah, the show itself, the Dragon Gate show, it wasn't that great in my opinion, but it was a success, and I praise them for that. The relationship, I really am skeptical on going forward, but we'll see. we'll see where they go. But I don't have a good vision other than, hey, let's have a once a year show. I can get down with that. How they've done it this year, I don't think has been a great success for either company, to be honest. You know, the Paris Del Mall going back and forth. They need to do things better, I think, for both companies to really let each company shine, I would say.
Agreed. So, let us then make the transition, Dylan, from Pro Wrestling Noah to Kono, the draw. November 13th. Opening of the Real World Tag League, All Japan Pro Wrestling drew 794 fans, 5 more fans than Noah did for their Global Honor Crown show.
5 more fans, Kono the
Kono
draw.
Kono brought all his Vamos Star fans with him. All
yes.
5 of them.
Yeah, all 5. That was the difference between this and the Global Honor Crown show.
Me being one of them, I like them for a change. So, Suwama and Kono, the Voodoo Murderers, they defeated Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura, who are going by the name of Miyakento Takuya, which actually translates to Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura. It's the tag name. And yes, they had a main event match, and surprisingly, Dylan, they didn't have any interference, they didn't have any shenanigans by Taru or the Saito Brothers, because they've already done that at the beginning of the tag league here. And I thought the match was decent enough to be a main event for a opening of the Real World Tag League.
Obviously, like, whenever you see the Voodoo Murders, you think...
You expect the worst.
You know, you never want to think too highly about some of these matches.
Yeah.
I thought this was... It was... good. Like, it wasn't bad. It reminded me of that junior tag match. No, I like, it wasn't bad, but this isn't something I would say, oh yeah, this really got me fired up for this the tag league.
No, and that's the sad part. That's what I said to you also in DMs. I expected this show to at least deliver like one standout match, and this had the most potential of all of these matches, to be quite honest, because, I mean, look at those other matches they had. It, in the end, was probably the best it could be. But it shows you what the quality of this tag league probably is going to be. It's not going to be very high.
Yeah. And Suwama got the pin on Kento.
Of course. I mean...
So that's setting up another
this
title
This is also
match?
Flat circle.
I mean, this is like... It's not a flat circle. It's under the ground circle. It's, you know, it's just... It's in the mud. Just like the Mirai haters. Like, yeah. This is where you're at right now. I mean, this circle is just a quicksand. You know, like the clock is swirling like a toilet bowl that we've gone into. I feel like I just... I don't know. I mean, I've said my piece on all of this before, so... I mean, again, it wasn't a bad match. It was fine. Like, it was a good match. They worked pretty well together. You know, it was a little bit... Again, it just wasn't interesting. Like, this match was not interesting, in my opinion. Much like...
And it's also the question, why would you have this new tag team that you apparently want to push because they are doing this weird friendship deal where... Kento is much deeper into the friendship than Takuya Nomura is, clearly. And they have him lose the first match. That's... I mean, they played it off with a storyline that they didn't really get along in this match. Yes, that's nice. But wouldn't you want a team like that get off the ground better than they actually did?
I think they were trying to tell a little bit of a story on this show where all the favorite teams ended up losing.
That's true. Yeah,
but I mean, I agree with what you said, though. That doesn't excuse like what they did here. And I do think that this will all lead to, like, at the end of the tournament, Nomura, you know, finally blowing up on Kento for good and setting up a triple crown challenge, pretty much. Unless Suwama's getting the title shot.
Oh yes, because we haven't done that in 2 months.
Yeah, and it's just like Kenno and Noah, like I said, I do think that that will happen. I pegged that at the start of the tournament that I thought that somehow I kind of figured they'd be alive, and maybe they still will be. Obviously, it's only one night, but maybe they'll be alive on the last night, and like Kento will lose a fall, and then Nomura will just beat the hell out of them at the end of it, and we'll set up a title match from there.
Looking at the card, actually,
the final card.
Yep.
Ah, okay.
So, final day is Miyahara and Nomura are facing the Saito brothers at the final day.
Perfect. Yeah. Like sure. Yeah. Right after. Yeah. Exactly. Like. Yeah. Like that perfectly sense. The Saito brothers probably won't win a ton in this league. Mm-hmm. So you give them a big win at the end, and you know you could have Nomura be pissed at the end.
Yeah, that would work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think about the other matches on that show? The other tag league matches?
The one match that I liked was the Gungnir of Anarchy and the Nagata and Anzai match. That was my favorite of all the tag matches.
It probably was the best, yes.
Yeah, I thought that... I love Gungnir of Anarchy. I just think they're a great team.
Like, yes, they are.
Yeah, like... did you see that where Honda, like his hand started bleeding? Other, how good was that?
That was great. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I really liked how Honda and Nagata worked together. That was really good too.
And they used it into the finish with him locking Nagata lock too on Honda. Like it was really cool. I thought that was a really good match. And like I said, this guy Anzai, I see so much potential in him that it's just insane. And I mean, clearly they do too. Like based on this, I think it's he didn't get the win, but. He won the match right away. Usually this is an automatic loss post.
Exactly. He would be on the losing post here. That is just tournament 101 booking in Japan, usually with the youngster coming in, losing all the matches besides the veteran. But no.
And he was the one that got the hot tag. Like, I remember at first they were starting, they were working over Nagata. And then Anzai came in and started throwing suplexes on everybody. He was looking badass.
He already has a great dropkick, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah. Anzai, like I said, Anzai is the man. That's the one good thing about this company that I think they do have a little bit of an edge on Noah right now. And Noah's got some good rookies too, like nothing against them. But I think that the All Japan rookies, like Anzai and Inoue, those guys can be like, you know, similar to what like maybe we want to believe Narita and Umino could be in New Japan. I think these guys could. I think Anzai could be even bigger than any of those guys. I think he could be the top champion of this company in the future.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I really like that match. And I love Gungnir of Anarchy. I wish they were the champions still. I hope that they get back up there again. I think that they're a dynamite team. Honda's awesome. Obviously, everyone loves Ashino. But I love them as a team. I wish that they would be the aces of the tag division forever. I really think that they're great for each other and just a great act all around.
Yeah, I have nothing to add there. There are two other matches that happened. Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi beat the Saito brothers because Taro threw powder into Kyohei Wada's eyes in a absolutely mind-boggling finish.
This to me was like a total dud of a match. I hated this.
Absolutely sucked.
Yeah, I thought this sucked so much.
That no upside to it. It was just plain bad.
Absolutely. I thought this was like a 0 out of 10. on the cage match ratings, I thought it was so bad.
Nothing worked out in this match. There was this moment where I forgot. I think it was Rei Saito who threw a lariat at Kuma Arashi, and it just looked so goofy, and both guys fell to the ground, and just awful.
Yeah, I thought this was a terrible match, legitimately. And it's a shame, because I thought that the Saitos had a lot going for them, especially when they came back and made their return. I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. Yeah. They had a good match versus Gungnir of Anarchy, and then they said, no, we want to put them in Voodoo Murders. Dylan, I saw you praise them. And we can't have that. We can't have you saying good things. So we're going to move the act that you have loved more than everyone else. We're going to move them into Voodoo Murders and make them just a complete pile of crap. And that's what we had at this match. I just thought this was a terrible match. It was heartbreaking to see. Just a terrible, terrible performance. From like you said, all involved, including Arashi and Doi. Like, we should all be ashamed for performing in it. Taru, most of all. I think no matter what, Taru gets the most blame. Regardless of anything, I mean, he was just there for the finish, really, but even still, he's the worst. He's just the worst. Let's just call it what it is. The fans, we should all be ashamed for watching it. We should be ashamed for the ones booking this that made this happen, because they unleashed this blight upon our planet of making this happen. And it's just a shameful act that we've seen over and over again. And we're going to have to live with it, Strig. I'm going to have to watch the rest of these matches. That's the saddest part of all. I'm the worst one.
You're the worst one, yes.
I'm the most pitiful one, I would say, at least. Everyone should feel sorry for me, because most of you aren't going to watch these matches. But I will. I'm going to have to suffer through this. Why me?
You chose your path, young Padawan. Well, then, on the topic of terrible, the finish of the co-main event was terrible. Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus, once again, much like with Dante Leon, I'm sure that Cyrus is having a great time in Japan now. He's trying to get over with the crowd. They clearly want this guy to be established, and they also mentioned it in commentary. They have a guy from America who has decent size with him, and apparently already, he is considered to be the next Vader, but he is not. He's not in that league, and the finish was absolutely atrocious. They did this thing where Cyrus had Aoyagi up in a powerbomb position. Shuji was on the top rope, and they wanted to make this look like a combination between a powerbomb and a chokeslam by Shuji. But it didn't work out because Shuji couldn't hold the throat because the guy was landing inside the ring. And so they were so embarrassed of the finish that they just called it a combined powerbomb on their own website. Man, poor Yuma.
Yeah. Man, this company's about to have me turn it into Anakin right now. if you're being Yoda, I'm going to the dark side if I have to keep watching this on here. That's going to be the next thing, But I feel like are you on my side? Are you the real Yoda? Are you Darth Striga right now?
I will never turn on you.
Okay, well, thank you. I feel like you're leading me to the dark side, but it's not you. It was actually...
It's all Japan.
Exactly what I was going to say. It's not you. It was Shuji Ishikawa disguised as you leading me to the dark side. So I think we have to be honest about it.
The real dark Sith Lord, the big dog.
Yeah. Yes. But, The match was okay. Cyrus, I completely agree with you on this. But on the same time, there's something charming, in my opinion, about Cyrus. It's like, yes, this is clearly a Vader tribute act, but if you're going to copy somebody, you could do worse than Vader. That's a good idea. Yes, he's clearly not in that league. I don't think... No, absolutely not. I completely agree with you. But the match was not bad until the finish. I thought that the Aoyagi and Lee team, they actually worked okay together. It's just the aesthetics of it all. Like, them working together, I just don't want, even if they're good. And Jake Lee, he's another one that's like... Look where he was at a few years ago. I remember us talking about... Remember that 60-minute draw match he had versus Kento?
Mm-hmm.
And he was still just normal Jake Lee. And then they went with this heel run and all of this stuff. And... Shout out to Gerard DeTrolio on Emerald Flow Show. He wrote a review of this, and he pointed out that Jake, I didn't even take note of this for one reason until he said it, but he had a fingerless glove on one hand like Roman Reigns. So does that mean Jake is the head of the table right now?
You know.
Is Yuma Jey Uso? Like what is this? Like, what is this team? Why is Yuma teaming with Jake?
They had this deal, too, where... Yuma came out first to Jake's music, then they went back behind the curtain, and I figured, okay, are they doing something now where, like, they fit better as a tag team? Maybe they come out to Yuma's theme? But no, they just came out again and to Jake's music.
Yeah, this is bad stuff all around. Like, I'm not a fan of this. Especially when you see Yuma, look at some of those matches he had in October, you know, like last month when they were doing stuff. To me, he just has something so special about him that the other people on this roster don't have. You know, like, he has something in him that the others just don't have. And in terms of not just the wrestling, I mean, I think he's a fantastic wrestler. But he has something within him, his charisma, his innate ability to connect with the fans, that the others just don't have. And I think he's a guy that needs to be looked at. And I don't know why they didn't. Because remember, they had that show where it was like Kento and Omori last month. And they had all the guys in the ring. It was like, a million man tag match. It felt like it was like all of Gungnir of Anarchy and then Yuma and a bunch of his friends, Jake and Atsuki and Omori, I think were in there. But he outshined everybody. It's like he showed himself. Like, he is this guy. Like, he should be the champion. Like, he should be the one that won in Budokan. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy when you see this. Because what is the upside to this tag team at the end of the day?
I don't know.
I mean, like, okay, so let's just say they win the tag league and then win the tag titles. If this is where we're going with this, it's just such a... What will that mean? Yuma was already there with Kento for mm-hmm, 2 years mm-hmm. before this in a better team. He's taking a step back after winning the Champion Carnival. It's crazy.
Yeah, what do you want me to say?
And it's like, it's getting worse with his company. That's not the end of the deal, because they have this junior tournament.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the junior
Battle of Glory. They've already done the best match they could do on the first night.
Yes. Yes.
Like, Hikaru Sato beat the champion. Why are we doing this tournament?
Here's the thing. They just want to have more Sato singles matches.
Okay.
Like, this tournament gives them an excuse to do that. And I will approve of that. Yeah, that to me was the best match on the whole show. Was the Sato and Atsuki match. And like you said, from a storyline perspective, yes, it's goofy like to start off with this. But, I mean, who knows? Like, who knows where we're going with this tournament? And there's only six guys. So, like, you think that anybody who beats him will get a title shot. I mean, that was going to happen anyway. Eventually, I think everybody will get a title shot eventually. That's just the way the division will go. But, yeah, you know, at least we had a good match. And I think that was needed on this show in particular, which was, again, it's like, I mean, besides that horrendous Saito Brothers match, I would say there was nothing truly bad on the show. But there was nothing truly great either, or even very good, except for this, and this was the closest we got to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're telling you, like, hey, this title really isn't that important, you know, and that sucks, because Aoyagi is one of the only, like, to me, one of the brightest spots of where they're at right now as a company is his title reign. I think he's a great champion, new face of the division, great talent, very charismatic. He has everything you want. But hopefully, and it's silly to say this, but hopefully they get behind him eventually.
Well, hopefully they do. Yeah, All Japan, absolutely in shambles as a company.
Wow. Harsh words, but not inaccurate. But and I actually like the other match, too. The other junior matches were both good, I thought.
They
well.
Were, but they don't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they're bringing in some New Japan guys on Christmas.
Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know.
They're bringing in Team 200 KG.
That is actually a very cool match. They are doing that. It's Shuji and Shihiro Hashimoto and Yu against Zuwama, Maya Yuki, and Mayumi Osaki, right?
Finally, I make my debut teaming with Zuwama and Shihiro. A dream of mine is finally coming true now that you've shouted me out and booked
yes.
me for this match.
It's you.
Oh, you. Oh, the wrestler. Oh, okay. I thought it was me. Oh,
sorry.
Oh man.
Sorry.
That's a shame. But yeah, that's actually really cool, though, in all honesty. Like, you get the girls in there. Let's go, baby. These guys and the women, they're going to rock the house. I mean, it's probably going to be like a Voodoo Murders match, to be honest with you. Since
Yeah, sure.
But it's at least something different.
Yeah. Right.
And what about Team 200 KG? You know, could we form that, do you think? How much do you weigh? How many KGs are you, Striga?
Not 100.
Oh yeah, I think I'm a little over 100 right now, actually.
Ooh.
So are you at? Are you in the 90s at least?
No.
Are you? We're not even close to 200.
No, we're not close. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you know, I at least I live up to my end of the bargain. But yeah, you know, regardless of that though, you get like I said, the New Japan guys coming back are really cool because they're all
cool, yes. But it also shows you, they desperately try to find something that gets them off the ground and gets them some attention, because what they are doing is clearly not working and not getting their guys over. So they are turning to New Japan once again, and I mean they are getting their guys back that had been working for them in the past.
Yeah.
It's cool for a one-night thing, that is.
It's like a Christmas present.
Right, yeah, sure.
You get Cass Hayashi coming in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, another former All Japan guy. We're bringing back the pro-res love era.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden here. Like, you know, going in here. Maybe that's a big... I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if they set up something to, like... on Muto's show, like, this is all leading to something of that end, like, bringing all of these guys from that era coming back, you have to think that something is on the horizon for that. It's like, because what? I mean, it's cool.
I will not buy this Muto retirement show if the Zodiac is not on the show.
What's he up to?
I have no idea.
Yeah, wasn't that the guy from Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
That was him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what was his name? Anyway.
Was it
Jesus? Mm-hmm. Carlito's bodyguard in WWE? Taking back to 2004 SmackDown trivia right now.
No, it was Aaron Aguilera. Oh, yeah, Jesus, that's it, right.
But yeah, see, so, yeah, what's he up to these days? Bring him back.
Let's see what he did. The last match we have in the database is him teaming with Taru and Shuji Kondo against Kazayashi, Keiji Muto, and Pegaso Illuminar from Wrestle 1, September 1st, 2019.
And isn't it time for him to make that return? Again, that could be the big return that they set up for the Dome show. The Wrestle 1 tribute match and also Pro Res Love tribute match will make its return. But yeah, like you said, it's a cool thing for one night. It's not going to lead to any changes for the company or anything, but it'll be a nice thing. I think it's cool to come back to that era just because it's very... And I think it's very nice. We're talking off the air. I think it's cool that New Japan and All Japan's working relationship seems to be pretty good right now.
Yep. Especially because it seems like that DDT and NOAH try to get something off the ground with AEW in America as well. I recently came across this post from our Eastern Lariat account, actually, that I made 2 years ago, or over 2 years ago, just before the pandemic actually really hit, the beginning of March 2020, when then still president of All Japan Pro Wrestling, Jun Akiyama, said he wanted to go to the U.S. to visit the NXT facilities, the what's it called? The Performance Center, that's what it's called. And he wanted to talk about a relationship between All Japan Pro Wrestling and WWE. And the pandemic obviously prevented him from going. Then he went to DDT first on a quote-unquote loan, but then became a regular of the DDT roster, became champion, and is completely vital to their main event scene right now to influence guys like Higuchi, like Endo, like Takeshita. And that would have never happened if the pandemic hadn't hit. So I guess COVID, we got to thank you for that. And right now, Zanshiro Takagi also is in America, or he actually went to America, not also. And I got to think that he got to be talking to Tony Khan about potentially getting more AEW guys to Japan and maybe getting one of their guys over to America or more guys of them over to America as well as DDT. Of course, sends Takeshita over again and Akiyama to team against Eddie Kingston and Ortiz on Rampage. That's a really cool match out of nowhere. So what do you think? Has this any legs to it?
Like AEW and DDT?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a cool match, like you said. Great for Eddie, like, get to wrestle Akiyama. I know that's one of his dreams, man. A big shout out to Eddie Kingston, man. Oh, I love that guy. Yeah. But hopefully they have a great match. And I think, like I said, on paper, we've talked about this before a little bit. It's a great idea to have a place maybe, you know, for more inexperienced wrestlers or people that you don't have a lot of plans for. You could send them to a DDT for a tour or so and like give them a little bit more experience wrestling a different style and maybe help them grow as wrestlers. And same thing for DDT. You get to send people to America. That's a big deal for a lot of the Japanese wrestlers. They love coming to America, get to have a lot of fun, get to relax, like a little vacation, like a work vacation almost. You get to wrestle different people, do different things than what you were doing. You know, Takeshita, it makes a lot of sense because it's like, he's done all he could do with DDT for the time being.
Right,
like,
and we were wondering what he actually was up to because he wasn't on any of these recent DDT shows. So he basically lost to Higuchi and then disappeared for a while.
Yeah, and both companies too. So it's great to see him back. I mean, he's just an incredible wrestler. So I hope so. You know, I would love to see that. I think, again, on paper, it feels good. I think a lot of the AEW, how they use a lot of their wrestlers, it's always like off and on with a lot of guys.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Like even someone like Eddie, who I love so much, he's sometimes having these major feuds and having these great matches and we all love it. And then he's gone for a little while. I mean, you know, someone like Miro, like I love a lot. He hasn't been around for so long. I miss him. Like, where's Miro at, Tony? Like that's he needs to go to DDT. Like, put him versus Higuchi in a match. Miro versus Higuchi, I'd be so down for that, it'd be crazy. But again, just on paper, it's a really inconsistent how they use their wrestlers, so I don't know if Tony Khan is even that interested in that, really. But I do think that there will be openings, at least for, you know, you look at some of these one-offs, you know, Willow coming into Tokyo Joshi Pro, you know, they're always open to talent. DDT's been really open to talent as well. They're using a lot of foreigners right now with Janela, Ricky Shane Page.
Oh yeah, we're going to get to that too.
Well, they're open to foreigners, so I mean, hopefully they can work something out. It hasn't happened yet, and my honest gut feeling is probably going to come across a little negative. I don't think Tony actually cares that much about all of that. But if he can get a push in that direction, at least, you know, maybe Takagi can be a smooth talker and get something in there, and they can work something out to be a little bit more prominent. And I definitely think they should use Takeshita because he's over to the American audiences already. I think he should be on every show pretty much. I think that they should use him for storylines, put something together. And if they could do that, I think they'd have a huge star on their hands. But we'll see. And I'm hopeful that they can at least do some good things between the two companies.
Yeah.
Or any company that AEW wants to work with, since they work with all of them, it seems like lately.
I mean, Tony should care to a degree, because it could really be a great, like, deal to place some of his wrestlers there. I mean, we've said it before. For example, I think I've made the case with a Private Party. Send them over for a tour with the DDT. They could only benefit from that if they just have something to do that's not just like squashing guys on AEW Dark.
Yeah, anybody on Dark with that as youth, I think, would be better used on DDT than on Dark.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Tony cares about New Japan, and the rest
is... Yeah.
Like, I think the rest is like... You know, like, to him, I don't think he sees it as that important. Even I mean, Noah, he did have that little press conference about him or whatever, that video he shot for him. So Sting's coming there, Muto. Everybody knows Great Muta, so even in America, if you're a longtime mm-hmm. fan. So I think that probably has a little bit more cachet with him as well. DDT feels like a third string player at best right now to Tony. But, I mean, there's yep. time to change.
Yeah, there is. So that's actually... It was my transition, Dylan, from All Japan Pro Wrestling to DDT. They have their D-King Grand Prix going on at the time. They have one show left before the final actually happens. And that show is on the 18th. So this coming Friday, with the following matches in Block A: Daisuke Sasaki versus Yuki Ueno, Joey Janela versus RSP, Tetsuya Endo versus Naomi Yoshimura. And in Block B, it's Higuchi versus Naya. It's Chris Brooks versus Yuji Hino. And it's for Block B. So the standings as they are right now is, in Block A, there is a tie on top with Tetsuya Endo and Daisuke Sasaki, because they went to a time limit draw with one another. 5 points. Then there's Yuki Ueno, Joe Janela, and RSP at 4, and Naomi Yoshimura at 2. He only beat his former tag team partner, Yuki Ueno. In Block B, Yuji Hino is leading with Higuchi on top. They also got a tie there because they also went to a 10-minute draw, so very similar to Block A. And then there's Yuki Onaya with 6 points, Chris Brooks, Cannon, and Ma with 2. And when I'm looking at the final matches they are having, I can see Yuki Onaya defeating Higuchi and moving on to the finals for Block B. While in Block A, I can see Yuki Ueno beating Daisuke Sasaki, while Naomi Yoshimura gets another victory over Tetsuya Endo, another upset for him there, which would mean that Ueno would move on to the finals against Yuki Onaya.
What's Hino's match on the last show?
Hino is facing Brooks, and Brooks only has 2 points.
Yeah. I think you could go either way with Hino or Naya in there.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Like I said, they put a lot in Naya recently.
Here, new music.
Yeah, I agree with you. The new music and stuff, I can get down with that and give Brooks an extra win. They already have kind of unfinished business with Hino and Higuchi. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Naya could win.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? So he would then move on to the finals, maybe win the thing, the whole thing, because I don't know what it would mean for Ueno to win right now. I still have my issues with Yuki Ueno, even though the last match that he had with Naomi Yoshimura was probably my favorite of the tournament. Let me just look at it. Yeah, I would say it was my favorite of the tournament so far, because it really was great in the end. It really... Oh, let me scratch that. I think the Higuchi versus Hino match was better.
Yeah, that was the best match.
Yeah, it was the best match. But this one was very good too. I I once again had my issues with Yuki Ueno in the beginning of the match, because I really, right now I have my issues. I don't know what the guy stands for. I've said it on shows before. But here they had this great energy of being a former tag team with him and Yoshimura, and that worked out great in the end. Yoshimura also winning in his hometown. Sadly, not to a great draw for DDT. That continues to be their issue, actually, even in Kurakan or in Osaka. Not really a great draw right now. Which also shows you what the company has been like for most of the year, that they just can't get lots of fans into their shows. So yeah, I saw that, and I figured, okay, yeah, Yoshimura now beat him. Maybe he moves on to the finals, but still though, to what purpose? Because I don't really see anything for him beyond his point where he is right now at the Universal Title Division champion.
And I mean, that to me is enough reason to have him win, to be honest with you. Endo and Sasaki. I mean, that's just one of the most worst match of the year. Endo and Sasaki with the 30-minute time limit draw, like an awful performance, like all around.
I actually kind of liked the first half of the match. Then they went to the interference by MJ Paul, and from there it completely fell apart.
Just a 30 minutes match between these two was just a nightmare to sit through.
And
you were talking about these these attendances and stuff. I mean, look at the shows they're putting on. You know, like this tournament has not been a very good tournament.
No.
You wait on Yoshimura match was good, but what were you gonna say?
Yeah. To the tournament, you mentioned it before the tournament happened, Joe Janela being in there. I mean, Janela, to a degree, I understand, because his entire vibe, his entire approach to wrestling is pretty close to what DDT does in their extreme division. So Janela, to a degree, fits with DDT and with the matches that he had in this tournament. But RSP, he is a complete misfit in this tournament. He doesn't fit with anyone, I think. And he doesn't come across like a guy that DDT should really use as one of their foreigners, because he just is not a guy that fits the style or the entire vibe and atmosphere of this company.
No, I want to first start off on that by saying that I don't like either of these guys. You know, even coming into the tournament, I had dirt poor expectations for them. And I have to say, I actually disagree with that. I think RSP has something Janela doesn't have, actually, where, again, he's not a good wrestler at all. Like, I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But I think he has a way to appeal to this fan base of DDT more. I think maybe it's just his size that may be a big part of that, because you see stuff like in the Endo match where Endo would do his big power bomb on him. Mm-hmm. That came across like a big moment, or even, you know, when RSP would do like a high spot, like, you know, his dive off the top or whatever, the Swanton bomb. It felt like an exciting moment for the fans. And again, we're talking very low indie guys. Like, that's kind of how I looked at them going in. Maybe my expectations were so low that maybe I'm a little softer on RSP, but again, neither of these guys should be in the tournament. I really want to point that out. I just think Janela has been just an absolutely awful performer. I mean, he's literally, to me, one of the worst wrestlers walking this planet, like, in my opinion. Like, I think he's an absolute embarrassment, and just, he's a guy that if I saw him, if I were a trainer or even one of the guys backstage at DDT, I would say, look, that's nothing personal, but this wrestling is not for you, man. not everybody can be a wrestler,
yeah.
You know, and he's proof of that. I mean, he's a guy that could do stunts, you know, like that's everything he brings to the table. He's not particularly charismatic. He doesn't have a great look.
Everything that he does in between is not good.
No, like even his stunts, it's like anybody could do what he does and probably better, like most people better. Like, I don't think he brings anything unique to the table at all. Like anybody. And Ricky Shane Page at least has a look to him, has some size to him that makes him at least stand out and feel like an attraction to these particular fans. He's not somebody I think should be in the tournament. He's not somebody I would bring back. But I think he's done a better job in this tournament than Janela. But again, we're comparing like very, you know, it's bad stuff, man. This tournament's not been good, you know, no matter how you say it.
And particularly, I mean, Block B had Higuchi. He had matches with Cannon and with Mao that were entertaining. The Hino match was the best in the tournament, but this Block A, man.
Oh, yeah. It's been really rough. And the problem is, even with B Block, it's like they have better wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. But I really love the Hino and Higuchi match. That was great. But when I look at this company overall, coming out of it, and this is my big problem going into the tournament, and it's even more glaring going out of the tournament. And we have to hope that whoever wins this tournament can change this a little bit. I feel like when I look at DDT right now, and we're heading into the end of the year, you have one guy at Higuchi who's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Is super, just an amazing worker, doing really cool things, has a lot of cool stories that he's done in his matches. Not just great matches, but the stories that they've had in each of them has been so cool. But there's nothing on this roster but beyond that to me. Like that's like any of any interest. Like even compared to All Japan, like they have guys at least. Like DDT doesn't have anybody except for Higuchi right now. It's a big problem, and I hope that they can change it.
It actually is a big problem. I think they really will go big on Naya because he's their project now, and he's actually one of those few guys that could actually become something.
And anybody can become something. It's just I don't think they just haven't done a good job in this. In this whole year, like it's not just a short-term problem. I think that this is something that's been going on for a while now. Naya, I mean, his tournament, to me, he hasn't particularly stood out, in my opinion, wrestling-wise, outside of Hino. Like, he's fine. Like, he's very, like, above average. You know, he's definitely better than he was, but he doesn't project as a superstar, in my opinion. Like I said, I think he's, like, a good guy to have. Hopefully he improves. But I think, like, Ueno, last year, he popped. Like, he was, like, a superstar. And they went away from him, and like he's really lost a lot. And I think that was a big mistake in hindsight. And I'm sure I probably said that at the time because I really thought like, man, this is the guy. Like this could be your next guy. And I think that they turned away from him. I think that they've really done a lot of damage to him. He's not particularly interesting right now. And then Naya, like I said, he hasn't really shown me a lot in the ring. I mean, he's good. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. It's just he doesn't pop as, like, a special talent the way Higuchi does. And I think we're hoping that, again, I think Ueno and Naya is the best final for the company's sake. And you have to hope that they really step up. And Ueno did last year. We know he can. And we think Naya can. We hope he can. And they pop and have this amazing match. And whoever wins, either one of them, I think you could look at whoever wins, you say, look, this is going to be a guy. This is our next project for real in 2023. And we're going to build him up to be something special. Because right now, it's a tough go for the company, in my opinion. And I just think that they need somebody else besides Higuchi to help make these cards a little bit more interesting. Because there just isn't anybody like that right now.
Yeah. Not looking too good, actually, for a lot of groups. Wondering, Dylan, now that we're at this point, still wondering what I'm going to vote for in our year-end awards for promotion of the year, because, man, there isn't a lot.
No, not these three companies we talked about, for sure.
Maybe it's the one that we talk for our final topic today. Actually looking very good for them this year. Stardom, Dylan, they are in the middle of their Goddesses of Stardom League. They are 4 days in. You've watched all of it. What can you say about this tournament and overall about what Stardom is doing right now besides, of course, the IWGP Women's Championship?
Yeah, I reviewed all of the shows and all the matches on the Patreon, like first 4 days plus the Hiroshima Goddess Festival as well. That was the big show they ran in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for Stardom, I mean, they're blowing away all these other companies, in my opinion.
Yes,
both success-wise and quality-wise. I just think that there's not a better company when it comes to match quality right now going up. And again, they're the one company that has full shows that are good. And I think that that's a big special thing. It's like, you know, you can look at any company we talked about and have pick somebody out that you love or are a big fan of or has great matches. But Stardom has up and down cards that I think are very good. Although the last two shows were like very small places. And I talked about it on the Patreon show. Not only do you get match reviews on the Patreon, you will get a in-depth tale of the city of Nara, Japan, the humble city there, and many of their symbols that they have there. So the tournament is still pretty, you know, decently on. Nothing that's like we can't say who's going to win for sure or anything like that. But they've had a couple of good you know, shows in there. The first show they had not just the tag league, but they were doing the tournament for the IWGP title. You had Iwatani versus Hayashi Shida.
I actually saw that show, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the first show of the tag league. And that was a really good match. You had Kairi and Alpha Female. That was okay. Mm-hmm. The tag match is the best one to me on that show. You know, you had to think that it was the God's Eye team versus Momo Watanabe and Starlight Kid. Tomoke Inaba, yeah. Inaba and Shuri. That was a really strong match, I thought.
Yeah, I think that Shuri and Inaba are a really great team together. Once again, Shuri is leading one of the younger talents to shine in Stardom, and Inaba, they already have a cool little entrance going where they show off their individual martial arts styles, so that's really cool.
Yeah. And,
Inaba matches great with Starlight Kid and Watanabe.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was the best one they've had so far. I do have some problems with that team in particular, because we've seen in the rest of the tournament where, okay, so like some other matches, and like Inaba was one of my favorites going in. I was super psyched to see her team with Shuri and be in the company, get love that she deserves because she's a really great talent. But there's matches like, for example, on that Nara show, the aforementioned show, that was like these small shows were not anything super special, but the one match of the last two that I really liked was 7-Up, you and Nanae Takahashi versus the New Era's Mirai and Amisore, where, and this is the thing, there was another match on the next show, it was Donna Del Mondo versus Mai Sakurai, and they did a match, like in those matches, so for example, Mirai already like a really good, you know, main event style player right now, or up a mid card type of person. But instead, Soray got the spotlight and to really stand out. And the other one, like you saw Mai Sakurai do a lot of cool stuff and face off with her opponents. So you see that, and it's like, oh yeah, this could be really cool. But in the other ones, like the Karate Brave team, Shuri and Inaba, their focus has been more on Shuri the last couple of shows. Because obviously, I mean, It makes sense because they're building up the red belt matches with Shuri or with Julia and stuff. You want to do that. But I hope that they could use Inaba, give her a spotlight performance like they did some of the other stars, or the young stars, in between the tournament. And there were some good matches, like I said. There's nothing been truly bad or anything like that, but nothing like super, super spectacular so far. Outside of that first night, like I said, I really liked that match I talked about. And the Natsupoi and Tom Nakano match on that first show as well, where they lost to Donna Del Mondo, or Mafia Bella. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good match. The big show in Hiroshima was...
Also, want to shout out here, Julia. She has so many different takes to her style. Like, this Mafia team, once again, is a completely different take off from what they were doing in Donna del Mundo in the first place. Yeah. I mean, she has undergone so many different style changes since the Hair vs. Hair match she lost. She's just very fashionable.
Yes, that is absolutely true. That's one way to describe her, and I completely agree with that statement. The other show, the big show, you had the return of Natsuko Tora in her first singles match back versus Utami Hayashishida. That over-delivered on expectations. I think Tora and her BMI 2000 team was like... At first, I thought their match was going to be horrible, but then they actually have done good stuff from the time being. So I thought they did good stuff there. You had... Mizumori come in from Gato Move, now Freelancer. She made her run in facing Himeka. You had the Cosmic Angels team, Melt here, not supporting Tom Nakano. They took on Black Desire for the tag titles. It was a really good match. And the main event was Shuri and Micah for the red belt, which was a really great match, I thought. I thought the wrestling in there was so good.
Micah is having a tremendous year.
Yeah, like way underrated, in my opinion. Like everybody on the roster, you see so much star power and great talent that she never gets her roses that she deserves. But to me, if you compare her to anybody comparable in any men's company, like in her spot on the card, she's better than all of anybody you could throw at her. Like, even though she's not a main event player, like, her wrestling is so strong. I always love her matches. And Shuri just had a fantastic title reign. And it's like, she continues to build up steam, which is perfect, considering where they're going. And the main thing on that show wasn't even the title match, though. It was the white belt match, which yeah. ended with a horrific injury to Mina Shirakawa, where Tall Saya ended up breaking her jaw on a dive. Just a mistake, nothing... You know, nothing to criticize too much. Just an honest mistake. But it ended up with Shirakawa, bloody mouth, jaw broken, teeth knocked out.
And she had to go through the interview backstage.
And that's the thing. Like, that's where I was going. Like, the main thing of this was like she cut one of the best promos of the entire year anywhere. Just crying and bloodied. Yeah. It went viral. It was amazing. It was like as good as that Jun Kasai and Desperado thing. Because it had the same thing that match had, or that promo had, and that what she was saying was real at the end. And like, it wasn't like an angle. You could see that she was bloodied and just suffering and still cutting this incredible promo that she, like, when she comes back, she's going to be an even bigger star than she ever was. And she's great, and she's had great improvements over the last few months, especially. And the last few years, she's always improved, but especially the last couple of months, she's been getting, like, really legitimately great. So I can't wait for her to come back. I think she's going to look like a superstar upon her return. And the company itself, the historic crossover, really cool card, main evented by Kairi and Iwatani. You know, the problem I had with that was, and we reviewed this again on the Patreon, me and Sandre, we'll do another show. I don't know, that maybe we'll even go on the free feed on that one for the historic crossover, if the show is big enough and there's enough.
Sure, why not?
You know, like, maybe, I don't want to say for sure, but it's something I have in mind. As again, if the show comes off well, if it becomes a dud, then maybe not. But like, if the show, and I don't think it will be a dud, I think it's actually set up to be a really cool show. And to me, the only thing I don't like about the main event, I think everybody imagined this was where they were going, Kairi and Mayu, the only two legitimate contenders to win this title. I didn't like how they had Mayu forfeit the SWA title going into this title match, because it basically all but assures that she's winning this title, like this IWGP title. So like, why couldn't we have just waited until she won the title? And then, you know, like, why? Like, what, why? You
know, no really reason for that, no.
But at the end of the day, this is all building to the end of the year, the Wrestle Queendom. Yeah, you know, Julia is challenging for the title versus Shuri after winning, you know, and everything, the 5-star Grand Prix and an amazing final. This push is going to be so huge for Stardom, I think. Yeah. Like, this is going to be what Okada was for New Japan when Julia wins this title. And I think she's, like, a fantastic, like, fantastic performer in terms of not just her wrestling. You mentioned the her fashion abilities, as you called them, or fashionable, very yeah. fashionable. She has everything it takes to be the top star of any company. I feel like, I think that this company is just on the rocket to the moon. I think that they have a brilliant main event that's expertly put together with a great story to it. They were friends. Like, they've been enemies since, like, Shuri left her. Shuri won the tournament after Julia was injured last year. Shuri won the title for her dead mom last year. Julia made a shocking, you know, comeback and was able to, well, not shocking, I predicted it, but still, she made a great comeback in this year's 5-star and won the tournament, and now faces her former friend for the title. Like, expert story, like, years build to it. Perfect choice to be the ace of the company, about to have her crowning moment. It's going to be emotional. It's probably going to be a fantastic match considering these two skill level. I think that 2023 is shaping up to be a huge year for Stardom with Julia at the forefront, and we're just on the road to there. Like, this stuff is cool. Like, this tag league is good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but the main interest right now is the road to that match, and this IWGP show is going to be a big part of that. You know, it's going to be a big deal for the fans, I would say, you know, just to have this. And hopefully a lot of New Japan fans that haven't seen the company, they give it a real chance, because I think, you know, like we talked about all these other companies, I mean, they're like lagging behind. This is a start, yeah. In my opinion, just in terms of interest, interesting things, good wrestling. I just think they're so far away. And I think that Stardom is just a great company right now. And hopefully it all turns out well. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen for sure. Maybe everything will be done by the end of it. And, you know, but I don't think that'll happen based on the talent level. And I think everybody should check it out because it's just such a good run right now they're on. And so many great wrestlers up and down.
Yes, absolutely agreed. So they are on the hot run right now. Really looking forward to the historic crossover. I really have a good feeling that this is not going to be a dud, Dylan. This is going to be a great show. I think everybody's going to be highly invested for this one. They even gave out shirts for the crossover tag teams. I saw this shirt that is a crossover with Maika and Hiroki Goto. Pretty cool deal there, too.
So, yeah. Too much shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. That's coming up there. And I guess so far, that's it for our topics today.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that's the main thing. Maybe they'll announce the New Japan Tag League on that show as well.
They already did.
Oh, they did?
Yes. You didn't notice? Okay, that's not a really big deal. They've announced the Tag League. And it's once again running besides the Junior Tag League.
Oh, yeah. Who's in it?
It's, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Toru Yano, Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, Alex Coverland and Gabriel Kidd, Tetsuya Naito and Sanada, Great Okan and Henare, Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher, Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste, Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer, Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens, Evil and Yujiro Takahashi.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I just forgot about it, to be honest.
I was just going to say.
I was pretty sure that you saw that. Yeah, as I say, yeah, I guess I just forgot about it.
Just for completion, Super Junior Tag League, yeah. Yusuke Taguchi and Clark Connors, Kushida and Kevin Knight, Tiger Mask and Robbie Eagles, Yo and Leo Rush, Alex Zane and El Lindemann, Bushi and Titan, TJP and Francesco Akira, Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Doki, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, and Sho and Dick Togo. This is so much cooler than the other tag league.
What do you think of Lindemann teaming with Alex Zane?
It's a great team. Great team on paper.
What do you think Lindemann's favorite item from Taco Bell is?
I'm not very familiar with the Taco Bell list, so maybe you'll tell me.
Oh, they don't have Taco Bell in Germany?
No, we've been over this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope it's the Baja Blast, which Alex Zane does not use as a finisher, so that makes me unhappy with him, even though he's very over in Japan. He got Taco Bell Japan to follow him, so I got to give him props and respect for that. But if you want to win me over, you got to hit that Baja Blast as a finishing move, buddy, on there. And I think that Lindemann needs to show him the ways. I trust Lindemann. He's going to agree with me on this, I bet. So, yeah, those tag leagues, I mean, yeah, it's all right, but how much of it will you watch?
Not a lot.
And so I guess it's not as cool after all.
No.
I will watch it, though. I will watch every single match of both tag leagues, all the tag leagues. This is tag league season right now in Japan, clearly. And I will continue to watch it and all that comes with it. But yes, that's all there is to say about Japanese wrestling right now.
There really is. But yeah, I was happy to do the show with you once again, Dylan. I thought we once again covered a lot of ground, and you've said it. You've already covered more ground than I actually did on the Patreon, patreon.com/easternlariat. Give us a follow there. Give us some of your time, because Dylan really is doing a great job there, not only with the podcasts you're doing, Dylan, but also with your writing.
Oh, yeah, Toyota Tuesdays. Yeah, like I put that on. The links are on my Twitter, too. I update it every time I put a new one up. Pretty much every day I put a new review up. Classic Toyota match. You might learn something even about Joshi. I cover not just Toyota, but actually all the people involved in it, give you a little bit of background. You learn a little something about classic Joshi wrestling through this journey that I've undertaken on there. So it's very cool. A lot of people have liked it, actually. I got a lot of retweets, stuff, people viewing it. That's free for everybody, too, even if you're not a subscriber. You know, tell your friends about it, read up some of the old school reviews, you get the links to the matches, you get to watch them. You want to subscribe, though, to that $5 tier, you get everything on there. You get all the tournament matches. You got to cover me and Dr. Jonathan. We're doing a great Muto, great Muta, Keiji Muto Week of Lariat. We're for part one on Keiji Muto. All of his stuff in, well, not all of it, but like I said, seven of his matches in New Japan. Obviously, me and you actually did one on Inoki as well, which is highly recommended. And not just that, one of these days I'm going to dig through the Patreon and just like link everything up into one post of the week ofs that we did, because that's some of our best work, actually, like in my opinion, of Kojima, Nagata, Nakanishi Tenzan. Like, all of those were like really great, in my opinion. So everybody listen to those. You guys, if you want to get on that $5 tier, you got the 90s project, 98's about to start. We're almost done with the whole decade. We're going to put the nail in the coffin on 1990s in the near future. So keep that up. You get a lot of cool stuff. And yeah, like shows, pretty much anytime there's a big show or anything like that, or these tag league tournament shows, we're always covering them. So check that out. It's going to be really cool if everybody does, and hopefully you guys enjoy it, and even enjoy the Toyota Tuesdays, even if you're not a subscriber. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the free show, and thank you for taking the time to read whatever you do of it. So thank you just to all the listeners out there. Very humbled and blessed to have every single one of you listen to this show and care about what myself and my good friend Striga, what we have to say about wrestling. It means a lot to me. So hopefully you continue to listen, tell all your friends, leave us good reviews, subscribe to the Patreon, and just say hi. I love talking to all my good friends of the Eastern Lariat family out there.
Yes, great closing words from your end. I also want to just once again thank you all for listening once again to this show. Hope you enjoyed it. We enjoy interacting with you a lot on Twitter. And that's been it for the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.